Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Happy New Year, Sherry.
Hey, Happy New Year back at you. Let's talk about our, should we talk about our New Year's resolutions?
No way.
How come?
I don't do resolutions.
Why not? You're a goal setter. What's up with that?
You know, New Year's resolutions have always been a place of angst for me because I'm such a doer, and it really does throw me into performance mode. And so I have put away New Year's resolutions. How about you? Have you replaced them with anything else?
Good for you. Well, you know, I think we need to continue our yearly tradition of talking about the word we've chosen for the year. So what is yours?
Mine is reflect.
Ooh.
And it's an interesting word because it has double meanings. And so I think it's a verb. Well, no, I guess both of them are verbs,
yeah,
right? One is to think and take quiet time to ponder. And the other is to be like a reflecting surface, right? Or to, yeah, to do the job of reflection.
Yes. Oh, I love it. That is such an Amy word.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
How about yours?
I don't want to talk about it.
I think I know what it is. You've been hinting at it a lot, but you've just been resisting it. Have you now embraced it, Sherry Gregory?
I know what the word is. I'm just going to pretend I don't know what it means. Well, actually, I don't have to pretend. The word is rest, and I have no clue what to do. I'm like hopeless. I'm like, so send me dictionaries, listeners. Please tell me about rest, because, you know, I need all the help I can get on this.
Well, hey, I have to tell our listeners that you may be saying that, but we just talked about this morning off the air some steps that you've taken towards rest. You say we are not going to take on any new tasks.
That's true. That's true. I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm very trying.
So you are taking steps already. I'm so proud. I think one of our listeners really tapped into why we dislike New Year's resolutions. She said, doing or seeking approval for acts well done leaves me feeling empty, not complete.
Ooh, and it's so easy to start a new year wanting to start out like we're just going to take this, the bull by the horns. And I don't know, I generally start feeling like I've been hit by a Mack truck, especially after the holidays.
Absolutely. It's too much. Too soon.
I agree.
So today we're going to turn things upside down a little bit and start with our verse because it is so key to what we're talking about today that we've just got to start there so we can build around it. The verses are John 4:13-15. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
What a great visual and a great image and great promise for those of us who are feeling drained at this point in the year already and wishing that we would never feel drained again and never feel thirsty again. You know, the intern on our team who put this episode together is Jeanette Hanscom, and she shared some thoughts with us that we wanted to share with you. She said, "Jesus is talking about salvation, but recently I found myself applying it to the many sources I've run to so I'll feel loved, accepted, or valuable, only to either be let down or left wanting more and more. Whatever we fill ourselves up with, other than Christ, will leave us thirsty again. This includes people-pleasing and our attempts to be perfect." Ouch. That was me saying ouch. That wasn't Jeanette. I'm just saying ouch. "There will always be someone who isn't pleased with us. We will never get it right all the time. The thing that makes us feel valuable can be taken from us. At some point, we need to come to grips with the reality that it will never, ever be enough."
Ooh. So, Sherry, as we dive into this thought about what keeps us thirsty and what fills us up, when you feel insecure, what source do you run to first?
I play musical chairs, only I do it with people. Like if one person makes me feel insecure, I rotate around through the people in my life until I find someone who isn't currently making me feel insecure. Now, I've got put "make" in quotation marks because I fully understand nobody can make me feel anything. But that's just the reality of how I function or am learning not to function like. But the problem is, at some point, I find myself with nobody to turn to because some days they all make me feel insecure. So, which is really, really inconsiderate of them. You know, like they shouldn't gang up on me like that. I mean, it's not as if my desperation and my neediness is bringing out the worst in any of us. Cough, cough, cough. And so, and then if and when my people are all letting me down, then I turn to my checklist.
Oh,
how about you?
Okay. Checklist, because I've talked about this so often. I just love a check on a checklist. But I tend to, when I'm feeling insecure, run to a checklist because my productivity provides my value, which of course, well, that's not true, but it's what I think or I feel. And so one of the things I'm doing, even to battle this here in January, is to lay aside some of my productivity this month for taking time to reflect.
Good for you.
So I'm taking a blogging break this month. It's funny because I've been blogging on my personal website about listening, and I thought, yeah, but I haven't been listening because I've been too busy.
I love it.
I'm listening.
You know, I'll tell you the image that comes to me thinking about those check marks and productivity, you know, when especially when it's being done out of insecurity, is it's like trying to capture water in a sieve. It's just going to flow straight through. Like no amount is going to stay if it's a sieve. But by taking that break, you're exchanging the sieve for a bowl and it's going to fill up. It's going to fill up. So that's just the image that came to me, even though I'm not visual. So have it for what it's worth. All right. So the sources that we tend to turn to and run to when we're feeling insecure, when have they let us down?
I mean, the obvious answer is always, always, right? The end product is never what we hoped for. And I started thinking about, why do I do that? What is it that I hope for in the end? And what I hope for is what I think we all long for, which is love and acceptance. But productivity, other people, that's shaky ground for love and acceptance. And so they always let us down. How about you? When have they let you down, Sherry?
Well, you know, when I think about when the people in my life have let me down, there's an old 80s song that comes to mind. The chorus goes, "You left me just when I needed you most."
I remember that one.
For the true perfectionist listening, I realize that came out in 1979, not 1980, but just let me run with the 80s reference here. So the way people let me down is by not being there when I need them most. Now, let me be really clear, because some of my friends might be listening to this episode, and you're one of my friends, so I want to make it clear to you. This is a statement about me, not about them. I mean, I have amazing people in my life who are regularly there for me, but I can still feel let down by them just when I needed them most. You know, this is why I don't sing. And then whether or not they're there, because again, it's that never-ending need. Like, if they were there for me, I need them there for me more and more and more, because people can't fulfill my need. And then if I do switch over to the checklist, they let me down because they grow way too long and completely unmanageable. And then I feel like a failure, and that is a huge letdown.
That's a parallel to the picture that's told in the scripture that we read today. The woman had to go to the well every day to get water. It was a never-ending thirst, a never-ending need, and we experienced the same thing. So how did you learn that they would never be enough and that you would always want more?
Well, like the only way I ever learn anything, like the hard way, as in maybe if I just try harder, they will be enough. So, and it would be comical if it wasn't so tragic. Like in every area, most areas of my life, not every, but in most other areas of my life, I end up having pretty good common sense when I have a problem. Like if I'm sleepy, I go to bed. If I'm hungry, I eat. If my back hurts, I stretch it out. But when it comes to my spiritual thirst, it's like I'm trying to answer the math problem, what is 2 + 2, with the answer purple. Like it just makes no sense. I mean, really, when you think about it logically, turning to people to quench your spiritual thirst, making a to-do list when you have a spiritual thirst, like it just doesn't make sense. It's like I want to shake myself and go, really, what are you thinking? But this is the twisted logic that comes from perfectionism and people-pleasing.
Yeah, I mean, we really should know better, right?
Yes.
But you know, one of the realizations that I have is one of the reasons maybe we don't know better is because they do work for a little while.
Oh, a reinforcement error.
Don't you know? I mean, they did work for a little while. And it's funny because when I think about, for example, my perfectionism and performanceism and how long that lasted, it lasted almost to the end of my 30s. Well, I was listening to another podcast about Enneagram the other day, and this expert teacher on Enneagram said that these habits that we cultivate work into our 30s or 40s. And I was like, oh, somebody else is saying this. Somebody else has had this experience. So, okay. So here's the good news is younger girls, we're telling you now, I know this feels like it's working for you, but it's not going to work forever. Cultivate relationship with Jesus. And you 40 and 50 something and 60 something and 70 something girls that are listening, you already know that this is true. But here's the good news for us. When we come to the end of that rope, when what has worked for us doesn't work anymore, it takes us to a good place if we'll let it. And that's dependence on Jesus, because he's the source.
So there's really value to the midlife crisis after all, huh?
Ah, yeah. Okay, let's put a good spin on that. So when we get to the end, Sherry, what does it mean to let Christ fill those empty places?
Well, it means for some of us some major habit changes. Yeah, you remember when we talked to Arlene Pelican a while ago and she encouraged
I blocked that out.
And she encouraged us to turn to God before Google. And I know I've heard you say prayer before people. It seems so simple, but I will find myself an hour into a conversation with a friend and then remember, oh, yeah, I meant to start in scripture, but somehow I skipped that whole step. And, you know, when I brought up that song from the late 70s, early 80s, You Left Me Just When I Needed You Most, that was pure snark. But here I found out something interesting when I watched the whole video. It sounds like a sappy breakup song, but he actually wrote it shortly after losing his father at a really young age, which gives a whole new layer of meaning to that line, where I'll find comfort, God only knows. And that's really what insecurity is all about, isn't it? Like trying to find comfort that only our Father can give us. We're trying to find that comfort from other sources, but we know they're not going to work. So basically, we end up looking for love. What? I was about to say looking for love in all the wrong places. What is with my fixation with 80s songs today? Listeners, I'm so sorry.
I just love it.
Amy, say something spiritual quick.
We are surrounded by musicians in our homes. This is what happens. Hey, you could win trivia on this, but it really is that reminder that he is the only one who's ever going to be enough. Jesus is the only source of that living water. He's the spring that springs up that's always there, so we don't have to return to the well all of the time. That's the picture he drew there, and it is the truth of our lives, that anything else falls short.
So what difference is it going to make in our lives in 2019 as we let him fill us up?
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to live this out. You know, the reflecting is letting him fill me up. And here's what I'm hoping for. Striving ends, rest settles over me, and that peace and joy prevail. You know, I think if I really want those results, and I need some of those results right now. If I want those results, it's going to require some hard decisions. And like you, I've tried to come into the new year making hard decisions. One of the things I knew that to give myself time to reflect, I needed to step away from a situation that I felt extremely negatively about. I was in a position that I shouldn't have been there, because I didn't have anything positive to bring to the situation. Barry really challenged me about it. So I stepped away from it. But Sherry, can I tell you, it was so hard, because you know responsibility is in my top five. And I could not remember the last time I quit something without finishing it. So to step away from it was so difficult, but it was the right decision. It was going to take that something that was draining me away, and it was going to allow me time to reflect and increase my time to be able to reflect. So what's it going to look like for you?
Well, first of all, I want to say good for you. I know that that was hard. At a recent intern training meeting, Kathy Lipp asked me, "So, Sherry, what are your goals for 2019? And I almost didn't want to say it out loud because she had listed these BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals. And I had to fess up what my number one goal was. And I had to say it's something I really don't know how to do, but it's my word for the year. It's rest. My number one goal is rest because I've got to make it the priority because that's what God keeps bringing into my life and saying, this is what I want for you. And so, you know, another way I'm putting it is I want to do less better. I want to do fewer things, but I want to do them with greater excellence and greater investment. And, you know, the other thing, and this is kind of an example of it, is I want to quit the flit. Because that musical chairs that I do from person to person to person, I want to quit flitting from person to person, from to-do list item to to-do list item. What I want is to be able to linger. We've talked about the importance of lingering and listening, and I want to be able to experience contentment and satisfaction and peace and joy and all these other things other people talk about, but they all require time. And if I'm busy flitting, I'm not going to experience them because they are, you know, now that I think about it, they all take reflection. They all require us to not be so busy doing, but to be spending some time being. And it's wonderful to talk about lingering at a table or lingering listening to people, but I want to learn to really linger with God and have that be my top priority.
Beautiful. So shall we read the verse again just for, because I think it's so important for the results that we want in the new year.
Absolutely.
John 4, 13 through 15 says, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Reading that last part made me tear up because I'm the woman.
Yes, give me this water. I mean, that's our rally cry for 2019. Christ, give us this water. Absolutely. So what's the bad rule for this episode?
This will make me feel filled. And I thought, really, this is whatever it happens to be for each person, sure. Right? For me, it's been productivity. For you, it's been people. You fill in your blank, listeners. What is it that you've turned to make you feel filled?
And what's the truth? What's the fact we can focus on instead?
Only Jesus fills me up.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Hey, Sherry.
Yeah.
Do you realize that we've been doing this podcast for over 2.5 years and that we have 135 consecutive episodes under our belt?
That is an unbroken streak of never missing a week. Yes, I love it.
I love it too, but do you think it's time for a rest and a little reflection?
What are you saying, Amy? What are you implying? Where's my paper bag?
What if we reforming perfectionists and people pleasers take a little break this month, the month of January, to rest and reflect?
You mean like no more podcast episodes for the entire month of January?
Yeah, but here's the thing. There are 135 episodes, Sherry, and I bet our listeners haven't heard every single one.
What if our listeners abandon us and quit listening altogether if we disappear?
I bet they won't. Hey, you guys, will you come back in February? I heard a resounding yes.
I'm going to trust you on this, and I'm going to trust God because he's the one who's given me this word, rest. So, okay, Grit and Grace girls, we're going to practice what we preach here. We're going to take the month of January off, and we're going to invite you to do some resting and some reflecting, and we'll put a link in the show notes to the archives of Grit and Grace, where there's 135 episodes waiting for you.
So make sure to join us again in February for new episodes.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.